You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning and welcome to a phone-in special on the referendum right across Scotland with me, Colin Mackay. Joining me this morning is Scottish Secretary Michael Moore. After a week of talks with the First Minister and the Prime Minister, today he's in talks with you. To get through, all you have to do is call now on 0845 500 1152. But this is a bit different from most phone-ins. This is your chance to respond directly to the UK government's referendum consultation and maybe get an instant response from Scottish Secretary Michael Moore. Whatever you have to say or whatever questions you have about plans for an independence referendum, this is your chance. So call now on 0845 500 1152. And Robert's first on the line. Robert, what's your question or point to Michael Moore?
Good morning, Colin. Good morning.
Morning,
Michael.
Good morning, Robert.
My first question is, first of all, I would like to say I'm a Scottish nationalist and my mind is almost made up and 2014 can't come quick enough. But I feel, and I'd like to know Michael's personal response, not the party's response, but just what he thinks about what I'm going to say. The first thing I'd like to say is, shouldn't we have gone for this 40 or 50 years ago for independence when we first struck oil in the North Sea? I think today in Scotland we would have been pretty well off financially.
Hang on, Robert. We'll deal with that one and then I'll maybe give you another one. There's loads of calls coming in, though. Should we have done this 40 years ago? It's before my time.
I may say so. If the 50 bit is before my time. Not being too fine a point on my age. Robert, listen, it's an important point. I respect the fact that for people who are, you know, strongly feel that Scotland should be an independent country, the oil argument is a very important one. I know that we were going to debate this long and hard before we get to the referendum itself. For my part, I think we can't really speculate about what might have happened in the past. What we've got to deal with is what we're doing now, and I'm delighted that we're going to be able to get on with the referendum. I want that to be, as you say, as soon as possible. I don't see why we need to wait to 2014 to get on with it.
Robert?
Yeah, that's fine, Michael. I know you're busy. I've just got one more important question.
Go on,
to
then.
Michael, that's worrying me. How are we going to handle our share of the national debt if we do get independence?
How would that be shared out?
Well, that's a really important point, and it's one that, I have to say, needs a lot of work on it. But it seems to be one that the SNP and the Scottish Government just brush aside as if it does not matter. It is a big issue for us, and one of the many issues that we want to get to the bottom of before we decide whether or not we're going to make this huge decision on whether we stay in the UK or go our own separate way.
Now, on Thursday, the Prime Minister said that he was considering what further powers could be devolved. What did he mean by that?
I think that was a very welcome statement. I hope that many people across the country saw it as such.
But what did he mean?
Well, no, the Prime Minister said that, first of all, pointed out we are in the process as a government of delivering the biggest package of financial powers to Scotland since the Act of Union. In the next few weeks, I hope we will see the bill passed, which will allow us to set half of our income tax here in Scotland. It will give substantial new borrowing powers to the Scottish Government. They're already making use of some of them so that we can get the fourth replacement crossing up and running.
But he's talking about more than that. That's in the Scotland bill. What is he talking about that's more than what's in the Scotland bill?
All of us in Scotland need to reflect very carefully on what more powers will look like. As a Liberal Democrat, along with my colleague Willie Rennie, the leader of our party in Scotland, we are looking very much at what more powers could be. What I certainly agree, Colin, is what we will not have in the referendum is a decision on the one hand for Scotland to go its own way and be independent, or on the other, there to be no change. As a Liberal Democrat, I want to see things develop. The bill is very important because it takes us another important step along the way with huge new financial powers. The debate in Scotland is a lively one. It will keep going, and I'm sure we'll then reach a new consensus on what those powers should be. Those are not yet spelt out, but we will debate them, we will argue them. But remember, it's two separate things. The referendum is about, are we staying in the UK at all? I hope and believe we should. On the other hand,
but the status quo is not an option. Everybody's agreed that. Now, even the Prime Minister as of Thursday. So what is the alternative to independence? What are people voting it for if they vote no?
What that will be spelt out. the important point in Scotland is that each of us in our political parties, or as many of your listeners will be, who are interested in politics but not members of political parties themselves, we as parties will set out what we think should be the way forward. It could be about tax, it could be about welfare systems, it could be about so much that affects our day-to-day lives here in Scotland, beyond what is already here in Edinburgh at the Scottish Parliament. That has to be debated between the parties. We'll find consensus and then on an agreed basis bring that forward to the electorate in Scotland and the rest of the UK for us to decide.
So the moment you're not going to tell us?
What I would say as a Liberal Democrat is that we have a commission led by...
You can't tell us, can you?
Absolutely not, because... and that's... I'll come back to another point about independence in a minute. That debate is only just beginning, and it's right that it should. We are in a process that saw the Parliament created in 1999 that is now in the process of giving it much more power and can do so again. But it wouldn't be for me just to impose that on anybody. Let's have the debate. We're about to get that underway.
But if we have the vote in 2014, will you tell us what you're offering before that vote?
As a Liberal Democrat, I'm absolutely determined that with my colleagues, we will be setting out our proposition of how we should bring that forward. Let's just do it briefly.
Because you could do it just now in the Scotland Bill, but not bring the powers until 2015 if you wanted to, couldn't you?
Hang on. Let's not pretend that all of this stuff can just be done with a flick of a switch or by pulling a rabbit out of a hat. This is stuff that all of us will want to take a lot of care in considering, about income tax, about corporation tax, about borrowing powers, whatever they might be. Welfare, is that to be included or not?
Would you include it?
Welfare's a massive issue. It's everything from pensions
to
the way we look
after... Would you include income tax, as Alistair Darling says today?
In the Steel Commission, which is a Liberal Democrat review a few years ago, we looked at some of the tax proposals, including income tax, that could be brought forward. But
would you like to see that brought forward? Would you like to see income tax devolved?
I'm in the process of devolving a large chunk of... Well, let me just set out that parties set out their ideas... We then find common ground between ourselves, and then we deliver on that. And that's exactly what we did with the original Parliament, which we said should have more powers than it got, but we agreed with the other parties to get the Parliament underway. We came together again in what we called the Calman Commission to bring forward more powers. We've done that with income tax and borrowing. The debate on where we can take that to the next stage, I welcome Alistair's comments, will be a very...
Do you back
creative
him?
One. I'm not going to preempt the debate at the moment.
Do you fancy it as an idea, then?
I think that we can, in time, go further. At the moment, I'm concentrating on making sure we get these powers to work. That's what we're underway with. In due course, Alistair Darling and the Labour Party, the Conservatives, ourselves, and anybody else will be able to contribute to that debate. Let's work it through in detail, as we've done before, when we've got consensus. Then we'll deliver.
Contributing to that debate is Evelyn. Evelyn, what's your question or point to Michael Moore this morning?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to ask him what, in his opinion, would be our standing in the EU when we get our independence.
Evelyn, it's a really important point because there's a great deal of uncertainty about where Scotland would sit if it had gone independent, was sitting separate from the rest of the United Kingdom and having to negotiate its position within the EU. It would inevitably be a smaller country within the EU of nearly 30 countries, and we, I think, would be a much smaller voice than we are at the present as a member of the United Kingdom. Because let's remember, when it comes to key issues about trade, about consumer protection, about things that matter to us here in Scotland, fishing, farming and the like, we are part of a huge member state that has got real clout. Scottish ministers from the Scottish Government are already involved with UK ministers in setting the terms of those discussions and negotiating the best deal. So I think, from my perspective, it's much better that Scotland remains part of the United Kingdom, where we are a big member of the EU and can influence matters much more impressively.
What do you think, Evelyn?
Well, I don't know. I'm for independence, of course. But I heard somebody the other day saying that if we did have a voice in the EU, it would also serve England because we would have two votes. Would that be true?
I'm not clear who was putting that idea forward to you, Evelyn.
It was a conversation that was happening, I think it was on the wireless, and, I'm just very interested in this. I just wonder what your opinion is, and if that's that, you know. But I think we should carry on and be independent anyway, regardless. I think it's time that we were on our own. And as regards this Barnett formula as well, that's another thing that's bandied around. The whinging, scrounging Scotch, you know. And when Londoners, in actual fact, get a lot more per head than we do up here. That's a fact.
You make an important point, and like you, I absolutely reject anybody who uses those descriptions of us as Scots, but the important point is that we have the debate about how we allocate money around the United Kingdom across the whole of the United Kingdom, including every part of England, because parts like London do rather better than many other parts of the UK, and that debate has barely begun.
Because the Prime Minister said that Scotland could stand alone, didn't he?
He did. It's a point. Position.
Do you agree with him?
Yeah, I do. I mean, we just have to accept it would be quite different to what we do at the moment.
What would be different?
We need to think through what it would mean in terms of our currency. The SNP has in the past said that we would, like every other small European country, join the euro. Well, that's not the case anymore, apparently. We would stay part of sterling, which means that the Bank of England, which sets interest rates for the whole of Britain at the moment, would now have responsibility just for England, and yet in Scotland we would have to accept their decisions on interest rates.
But that's not what worries most people. Most people are worried, would they be better off or worse off?
I think the currency will affect them very strongly, and what interest rates we have in this country clearly affect all of us.
Extrapolate out of that then, how would it affect your average punter?
We will see, I think, if we were to be independent, I think that we would see that Scotland had an awful lot less influence over key economic decisions around interest rates if we stuck with the pound rather than going into the single currency.
But how would that affect your pocket?
The Institute
of Fiscal Studies says this morning that your reforms in terms of tax and welfare could cost the average family £580 a year. That's quite a big hit.
I haven't had a chance to look at the respective think tank, but I haven't had a chance to look at their figures and to see how they have calculated them. We are in very challenging times at the moment. I think people across the country recognise that people out of work, people in work, everybody is having to cut their cloth to very different circumstances. These are tough times. We recognise that.
And well, tough times whether we're independent or not.
No, indeed.
What Evelyn wants to know is, What would make it better to stay in the UK? What's going to make us better off?
Well, let me just make a very straightforward point about the way in which businesses here in Scotland trade with the rest of the world. We trade with England twice as much business as we do with the whole of the rest of the world. The United States, a huge market, is something like £3 billion worth of exports every year. England, it's £45 billion a year. I think that's a very important figure for people to remember, because it means that here in Scotland, we're producing things, we're selling services to people in England on a huge scale. Why would we want to put barriers up between us? Why would we want to create complications between us? I think it's a very much more straightforward to develop our powers within the United Kingdom, have as much decision-making as is necessary, while keeping all the advantages that we have of being part of this huge, successful, big market.
So you can't tell Evelyn what difference it would make to her?
Nobody at this stage. I defy the Nationalists to spell out how much better off they think Scotland would be as a part of an independent, if we were independent. They haven't spelt that out at all.
But neither have you.
We're engaged in a big debate now. Over the next few months, more and more of this detail will be put into the public debate. Audiences like yours this morning, Colin, and the debate across Scotland will be an intense one. The information will be there. My judgment, based on what I know already and what an example like I've just shared, is that we are much stronger and better off as part of the UK than we would be by going separate.
Cara Gilchrist's on the line. Cara, what's your question or point this morning?
Well, I would like to ask Michael Moore how he explains the deplorable state of the MOD base at Fad Lane. New information has come to light that 11 out of 13 of the reactors are unsafe. Maybe a lot safer independent. And I also feel we'd have accountability.
Cara's saying that basically as an anti-nuclear, as a non-nuclear country, an independent Scotland would be better.
Look, first of all, can I just pick up the point about nuclear safety at the base? There is nothing more important to us as a government than making sure that we have the highest possible standards, not just at Fads Lane, but every defence base and installation around the whole country. And any suggestion that we don't, of course, will be looked at very seriously. The reports are obviously a matter for the MOD to investigate. As far as the broader point is concerned, there's an entirely fair debate to be had about whether or not Scotland should be nuclear free or whether the UK should be nuclear free. This is something that parties have debated up and down the land for very many years indeed. The point I would make, however, is that we not just the nuclear aspect of Faslane that we should bear in mind, but the intention of the UK government to make Faslane the centre for all United Kingdom submarines of any kind whatsoever. It will be the place where everybody who's involved in submarines in UK defence is based. There are thousands of jobs that are tied up with the base and the wider economy in the west of Scotland. Somebody said to me once, you know, the base is the largest hotel in Western Europe, some 6,000 or 7,000 beds there for the servicemen. And then beyond the base, there are huge impacts on the rest of the economy. So I think we'll debate this in the round. I respect you've got a very strong view on this, Cara, but you know, and I know that over the next few months everybody will be taking sides on this and deciding whether this is the right decision or not.
So you're being pro-nuclear today then?
Well, I personally have always been in favour of multilateral disarmament. I'd like to get rid of nuclear weapons, but I want to do that on a multilateral basis. I think that within the United Kingdom, Scotland is better protected and more secure than it would be if it went off on its own. And I think these are some of the big questions that the SNP will have to answer when they set out their plans.
Alexander O'Neill's on the line. Alexander, what's your question or point for Michael Moore this morning?
Hello, good morning, Michael.
Hi there.
Hello. I mean, I'm wondering what will independence do for Scotland and on a whole. I get quite disappointed with politics on a whole. You know, would it make a difference to Scotland being independent regarding we'd be better off? Would we be better off? Would we still be out with help with stealth tax? Would still be that way.
Alexander, do you just not believe any of these people?
No, I don't really.
So where would you stand in the referendum then?
I think I'm a Scotsman. I'm Labour minded, but I'm very much for the referendum.
Right. So you're in favour of a referendum, but you're not sure whether you'd vote for or not, for or against?
No, because I feel that people don't know enough about it. I feel that there's an awful lot...
What would it take to convince you to stay with the union, which is what Michael Moore's proposing?
Well, it would take a lot more convincing than what I'm getting at the minute.
Go on, then convince him then. Give him one issue that would convince Alexander to stay with the union.
If we're going to be cheeky and suggest there's three big areas.
Go on, then.
The economy, the point we were discussing earlier in response to Evelyn's question. England is our biggest trading partner. We've got very close economic ties with England, and I don't think we need to put those at risk or make any further complications with that. In terms of defence and our place in the world, I think we're more secure as part of the United Kingdom, and also we have greater clout, not just in the United Nations or in the European Union, but also in things like international development. The assistance we give to poor people around the world, we care passionately about that in Scotland.
I don't think Alexander's really that bothered about the United Nations or membership of these organisations. I think he's bothered about what difference it's going to make to him.
Well, in fairness, I mean, if Alexander wants to tell me that, I'll respect him.
Alexander, is that what you're saying? You want to know what difference staying in the UK or going independent would make to you, don't you?
That's exactly what I mean. People have been bleached to the bone. People have been bleached to the bone with taxes and stealth tax as well. We bail out banks and deal with the rest of it. These things are all been, these are oversights now.
No, listen, I can absolutely understand.
Right, so what I'm asking is, people who are unable to work, who cannot get work, are they going to take more from us than they've already taken from us, or would we be better off? That's a simple enough question.
Well, listen, first of all, I think the SNP need to spell out exactly how they think you'd be better off. For my part, two things. Firstly, for people who are unable to work, who need support to go about their everyday lives, that has got to be the absolute basis of any support and any welfare system in the whole United Kingdom. That is what I want to see as a part of our reforms. The second part would be to say, I really appreciate how tough it is for people who've not got much money at the moment to make ends meet. And one of the big priorities for Liberal Democrats in the coalition has been to get the starting point where people pay tax raised so that it is at £10,000 every year. Now, that will be a big difference. We've made some progress already. 91,000 Scots out of tax altogether this April as a result of the measures we're taking. But we're
There's
not going to rest...
231,000 who aren't even in work who aren't going to be paying any tax whatsoever on that basis.
No,
what
indeed.
Are you going to do for them?
Well,
that's what Alexander wants.
We've got to get the economy back on track. Let's not forget the mess. Well, God, I think that Alexander and others, as they look at the economy, they see that this isn't just an issue for us here in Scotland or indeed Britain. It's actually an issue for Europe, the world. Everybody is really struggling at the moment. We inherited a huge mess from the Labour government with the state of the public finances in a desperate place. We're having to take really tough, difficult decisions. Some of them really, really difficult for families and others.
But when's it going to look better for Alexander and other people in Scotland? Because that's what he's saying he wants to know.
We are doing we're taking really strong measures.
Will
the
budget
make
it better?
Well, I can't preempt the Chancellor and the budget.
Would you like to see the budget make it better?
Of course, every budget is designed to help people to ensure that they are better off, and I want to see in that priorities to help people on the lowest incomes to get more support to get on with these tough times. The broader point for Alexander, I hope, is this: that as part of the United Kingdom, we've got the strength to support ourselves in the bad times. That means that the people who are unemployed, that Colin's just been referring to there, are able to get the support that is there without question as to what the state of the Scottish economy is, because the UK economy is big enough to look after them in these tough times. I think that's a very important strength of the UK. And also, as we get the economy sorted out over the next couple of years, then everybody will share as the economy grows.
This is a referendum special, phoning with me, Colin Mackay, and Scottish Secretary Michael Moore. The number to call wherever you are in Scotland is 0845 511 52, and we'll take more of your calls in just a moment.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
And our calls are coming in thick and fast. If you want to get on, 0845 511 52, John McCulloch's on the line. John, what's your point of question this morning?
Morning, Mr. Moore.
Good morning.
It's in regards to the first caller was on, was talking about if Scotland had been independent, that 50 years ago we'd be very rich now. But I don't believe that you can base a country's economy or wealth on one specific like oil. It can't be done. I don't believe that. Also, I believe that I'm British. I'm Scottish, but I'm British. And I also believe that if Scotland were to become independent, I believe that Britain as a whole has a AAA rating. We would lose all that. So, I mean, I just think it's a bad idea. Also, I mean, if we went independent, I mean, what's going to happen to things like defence, things like health service? We'd have to set up embassies all over the world. Who's going to pay for all that?
Would we have to do all of that, Michael Moore?
Well, I think that John has put his finger on some of the key issues in this debate. I agree with you that it would be foolhardy to debate, to place our whole economic future on the basis of one resource like oil and gas, not least because of the volatility that goes with that. On your point about feeling British as well as Scottish, I think that's true of so many of us here in Scotland. You know, I'm proud to be from the Borders, I'm proud to be Scottish, I'm proud to be British. Even as a Liberal Democrat, I'll sneak out the fact that I'm sometimes happy to admit I'm a European. Not very fashionable these days. So we have lots of different identities, but none of those undermines our feeling of basically being Scottish. The important point about our economy, we saw reports the other day that some of the senior figures in the ratings agencies who decide what ratings we should get were doubting whether or not Scotland would get the highest level of rating, the AAA rating. Why does that matter? Because that affects the interest rates that we pay on government debt, and that flows through into so much else of our interest as well.
But they were also doubting, what Moody's was also doubting, whether the UK could maintain a AAA status.
Let's be clear, they have maintained our AAA status, but they have they've highlighted some of the dangers that face our economy. But compared to many of the countries in the Eurozone at the present time, we are in a very much stronger position. But nobody in the UK government has ever played down the real challenges that we face.
Could the UK lose that AAA status? Is there a genuine concern there?
we are doing everything in our powers to ensure that we get ourselves away from the dangers left to us by the Labour government, and that we ensure we create the conditions that allow businesses and the economy to grow. And by tackling the deficit, by cutting corporation tax, by keeping interest rates low, by reducing the burden of national insurance, so many different ways, we are making sure that we cut back on the risks and help growth, not least also in boosting capital spending, which we've done in the last few months. John's final point was on defence, and I think it just allows me to underline the point I made earlier on. I think we are stronger as part of the UK, and we as a government are committed to increasing the number of armed forces based here in Scotland, so it will have the biggest defence footprint it has had in generations. I think that's very important. It's a part of the success story of being part of Britain.
Despite things like the RAF pulling out of Lookers?
Well, listen, we've had to make tough decisions across the whole of the United Kingdom. The important point is that we are going to keep fast jets in Scotland. We're going to have one of our three UK fast jet bases. We're going to increase the number of army personnel in Scotland. And as we've already discussed, we're actually bringing all of the UK submarine fleet to FAS Lane. And let's not forget the impact on our defence industries. We, you know, anybody who's been to the Clyde recently and looked at what's happening at Govan or on the east side of the country at Rosyth as they assemble these great aircraft carriers, that is very important business for Scotland that comes from being part of the UK.
Morag Lenny's on the line. Morag, what's your point this morning?
I have so many points I could make to Mr. Moore, it would take up your whole programme.
Well, give us your top one. What's your number one point of concern?
My number one point of concern is that in 1970, under what became known as the Declaration of Perth, Edward Heath committed to Scottish devolution. We didn't get it. In 1979, in the referendum campaign that was held then, Alec Douglas-Hume said, "Vote no and we will give you a better package of devolution than is on offer," and we didn't get it. And now, it took 20 years, finally, when the people of Scotland organised and took to the streets in Edinburgh, we finally got devolution. But now we have David Cameron, and I'm quoting exactly from his speech, David Cameron saying, "I am open to looking at further devolution if the people of Scotland vote no." Why should we believe David Cameron? And Mr. Moore, you are not there as a representative of the Liberal Democrats. You are there as a member of the coalition government, I would say a fairly junior member, i.e. the Liberal Democrats, fairly junior member of the government. So please stop telling us about what the Liberal Democrats would do. We're talking about the existing coalition government right now, and why should we believe David Cameron when two of his predecessors...
Let's put that to you, Morag. Michael Moore, deal with all of that.
Morag, thank you. That was a great set of challenges there. Can I just make without being flippant about it, an observation that the two examples that you're concerned about, going back to 1970 and 1978, are well over 30 years ago and over 40 years ago. The point is, and you're right to set out how long it took to get devolution, but the point there is the SNP sat quite aside from that whole process. They were not interested in being part of the constitutional convention.
Forget the history. Morag. What she's saying is that you're Morag promising jam tomorrow.
Wait a minute.
What's in that jam? What flavour of jam is it?
Morag perfectly rightly challenged me on these historical realities. I just want to give my perspective on it, if I may.
Briefly.
as briefly as any politician ever does. The point about the convention was that different parties came together with others who are not in politics. We came up with the plans for the Scottish Parliament, and that was delivered in the late 90s. We came together again, and once again the SNP sat aside from it and came up with the Calman Commission proposals. That's what I'm delivering as part of the coalition. But here, if I may take slight issue with Morag, is there's no avoiding the fact, I'm proud of the fact I'm a Liberal Democrat within the coalition. We as Liberal Democrats, the Conservatives for their part, the Labour Party, the people in the union movement, the Civic Scotland, churches, wherever they may be, everybody has a role in deciding what those new powers will be. We as Liberal Democrats will set those out as quickly as possible. It will be for others to do likewise. And then we can resolve what those extra powers will, how they'll take shape. But the important point from what the Prime Minister said was that debate is a real one. We're not choosing between independence and no change.
Morag raised the point that the First Minister kind of raised earlier this week. Who is in charge of the referendum talks from the UK government side? Is it you or is it the Prime Minister? Who's the boss?
The Prime Minister has very clearly put me in charge of discussing and negotiating things with the First Minister. We had those discussions on Monday. We summarised them again on Thursday. It's clear we need to find common ground so that we can actually get on with the referendum, because every caller today has rightly been focusing in on the big issues about independence. Frankly, we can't do any of that until we've got the referendum sorted out. I want to see one that is legal, so we're going to give the powers to the Scottish Parliament. I want it to be fair. I want to make sure it's done in the same rules, same referee as ever, and let's make it decisive. A single question as soon as possible.
So when the First Minister says he wants to talk to the man in charge, that's you?
Yes, indeed, and he has done it twice this week, so I'm delighted to meet him as often as he wishes. We have agreed how our officials will take work forward, and I hope we'll see each other before too long.
Next on the line is Jamie McDowell. Jamie, what's your point this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Tell you what, I wanted to talk about two things. One, first of all, about democracy. I mean, I've had the Westminster government, the British government, and Washington for many, many years banging the drum of democracy and about... They've even went to war to free countries to have them the right to self-govern. So I really genuinely believe it's the basic right for every human being, every country, to self-govern themselves and determine their own future. Yet in 2012, we don't have that. Like, we have one country telling another country what to do. To me, that is outrageous. It's undemocratic, and I think it's got to be illegal. And on top of that, I'm very, very saddened by the negative tactics of the unionist kind of lobby on this whole topic. They're coming away with scare stories, this and that. At the end of the day, I think when they're coming away with all these different things, I think they're saying to the Scottish people, you're not intelligent enough, you're not clever enough, you're not capable of, not viable enough to run your own country. I'm asking Mr. Moore this morning, does he believe the Scottish people are capable of running their own country?
Absolutely I do, and I think that's why I've always been in favour, first of all, of the Scottish Parliament, and then actually enhancing its powers, and that's the debate we've been having here this morning about what those more powers could look like. You'll never hear me suggest that Scotland could not go its own way, or that it wouldn't, you know, find its own place in the world. That's not the case. My case is that actually in Scotland we can decide things as that we deem appropriate, whether it's health and education, if in time it might be the welfare system or all our taxes. That's for us now to work through. But I think we're stronger as part of the United Kingdom. Like anybody else, I get offended if people tell us that as Scots we can't do this or we can't do that. But go back to your fundamental point at the start, in which I'm in complete agreement, which is that we should be able to determine our own fate and decide for ourselves what we want to do. That's what the referendum should be about whether Scotland stays within the UK or goes its own separate way. Let's have that debate, and I think we should have it sooner rather than later. I'm slightly perplexed, like the first caller this morning, Robert, who suggested, you know, why do we have to wait for this decision? Let's get on with it.
Is it going to be difficult for you to argue a positive case for the union rather than a negative case for independence?
I think that we will argue a positive case around the strength of our economy and how we're better placed as part of the UK. And that's both the opportunities we have and the better protection we have for being part of the UK. I think that, notwithstanding what you said earlier, Colin, about whether people are interested in the UN or the EU, I think actually many people are, or about how much we spend on helping the poorest in the world to get out of extreme poverty. Again, much more clout as part of the UK than we would have on our own. But it's also about family and social ties. The fact is, you know, many Scots, like me, have got family members who are born in Scotland but live down south or whatever. They're still passionately Scottish. And I think the ties we have, culturally and family terms, are really strong. We can continue
but
those.
But does the question that's being proposed by the Scottish government, do you agree Scotland should be an independent country, does that make it difficult for you to argue a positive case? Are you happy with that question? Are you willing to accept it?
I think the question itself, it's out to consultation. People will have views on it. I think that the important point, and I think that we're going to drill progress on this with the Scottish government in recent days, is that the Electoral Commission, the normal referee for these kind of things, will look at that and decide whether it's a fair question or not. So let's leave it that for now to them. But aside from that...
But do you have any problems with it?
Listen, I want to see what they have to say in due course. I think that there are different formulations that can be done. I think it's important that we ensure that we get the formulation that is fairest.
So you're not accepting that question as black and white at the moment?
I'm certainly not. And what the Scottish Government has said is a question that they're putting out to consultation. And in due course, what I think should happen is that the Scottish Parliament, when it's given the powers and gets on with the bill, the Electoral Commission should have the powers to look at that and report to them about that question.
So that's you're committed important. To giving them the powers then, with no strings attached, as the First Minister has said?
Well, we bandy around no strings or unacceptable strings. Or anything. What I'm interested in doing, and I think fair-minded Scots across the country are too, is ensuring that we get a process that's legal, one that's fair. People recognise these are the kind of same rules, the same referee as we would have in any other electoral contest. And also that's
but the powers will be given, those powers will be devolved.
Well, that's what I'm now discussing, and hopefully we'll conclude successful discussions with the First Minister about. Let's get that sorted. Now, on the issue of can we make a positive case for the union, I think it is around the strength of the economy. It's about the strength of our international clout and about our family and cultural ties.
You've said, let's go to Chris Martin. Chris Martin, what's your point this morning?
Yes, good morning. You've actually just touched upon it. I'm a bit confused here. I'm wondering if you can clear something up for me, Michael. You recently met with Alex Salmond to discuss the proposed details of the referendum, and you left that meeting stating that you had some very serious issues about the proposal for the second question in the ballot, and you were opposed to the referendum vote for the 16 and 17-year-olds. Now, before you've also warned that Holyrood doesn't have the power to hold a referendum without the permission of the Westminster government, why then did you state in an interview with the BBC back in May that, and I quote, the decision on when and if to have a referendum is a matter for the new Scottish Parliament and the new Scottish Parliament alone, and so long as they comply with the rules of holding an election, they can proceed, and that you wouldn't block or throw up any obstacles in their way.
Michael Moore. Surely then that's fine, Chris. Michael Moore.
I think that's entirely consistent with what we've said since. I mean, what we have ensured is that we looked very carefully at the Act. We discussed privately with the Scottish Government what their own proposals would be, how they would get round some of the issues that we saw. And in the same spirit of as my comments back in May, I announced to Parliament in early January our desire to devolve those powers. It's not about Westminster giving its permission. It's actually recognising there is a legal problem about the Scottish Parliament having the ability to carry out any referendum to do with any part of the Constitution.
But the biggest threat to take it to the Supreme Court, for example, which is where it would go, comes from the UK government, doesn't
it? There's no threat from the UK government. What we have said is that anybody could take that decision to challenge the powers in the court. I don't think it's in our interest either to have the power of the Scottish Parliament challenged or the outcome of a referendum. My goodness, I'm sure we all know lawyers across the country, fine upstanding citizens, but we don't want them determining in court the outcome of this hugely important decision rather than us as Scots in the ballot box.
But on page 11 of your own consultation, you say that it would be the Advocate General who could take it to the Supreme Court.
Well, he certainly could, but it's not...
Are you ruling that out then? You're saying that he wouldn't?
What I'm saying is that anybody who wished to could take that challenge. If I was interested in challenging...
But specifically the Advocate General is mentioned in your consultation. Can you rule out that he would not do that? Can you say now
it's not for me.
Wouldn't do that.
I'm not talking. I don't. You know, the Advocate General offers legal advice to ministers and others about the way forward on particular issues. I ask you to judge us by our actions column, which is if we were in the business of putting obstacles in the way and trying to challenge this process, wouldn't come forward with an open offer to work with the Scottish Government to ensure the powers are with the Scottish Parliament and are beyond doubt. That's what my consultation is about, and I think there's been a very positive response.
But you're
to
not
it.
Ruling out a UK government decision to take it to refer this
no,
to the Supreme
what
Court.
No, what I'm saying is that anybody in the country could take it. So you don't.
But you're not ruling out the UK government making that decision.
I don't envisage the circumstances, but what I'm saying is that anybody in the country could do that challenge. Why would we want to risk that? And judge us by what we're trying to do, not by some threat that seems people wish to suggest hangs out there.
So you're almost ruling it out there.
I'm a fair-minded person.
You don't,
who wants,
you
don't
want,
want
you
do
don't
it.
Want the UK government to do it.
I don't think that would be the right way forward. In the circumstances that we're in, what is very important is to ensure that we get the two governments working together to get the powers resolved and beyond doubt. if we get a legal, fair and decisive referendum, then all of us can get back to the discussion we're having earlier on in this forum about what would independence look like, which the SNP have still yet to set out.
We'll take more of your calls in just a moment.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
And we're going to try and get through as many of your calls in the last 5-10 minutes as we can. William Pitt's on the line. William, what's your point this morning? Hello, William.
What it is I've been listening to the arguments this morning. Why could you explain to me will the demand for Scotland's exports suddenly stop if we became independent? And why would it not be possible for our two countries to work together to maintain our security?
That's a direct question of what you were saying earlier on, Michael Moore.
I think that the point is that we don't want to put any of that at risk or introduce extra complications or barriers to what is a highly successful trade for Scotland at the moment. And in terms of defence, I mean, of course, we can negotiate and discuss what an independent Scotland would do in terms of defence arrangements with the rest of the United Kingdom. My point is we've got the best possible deal at the moment where we're firmly part of the UK.
William, what do you make of that?
Well, surely we're being told that we've got the best possible deal, but surely until we explore the other options, how can we be absolutely sure that there's not a better option out there for us? Our exports globally are not going to suddenly stop, regardless of the outcome of this. And I think the arguments fall down a little bit there with all this sort of scaremongering scenarios, on which is a very important referendum issue.
And listen, William, you and everybody else will be able to explore those arguments with me and everybody else in the months ahead. Let me just pick up a point about our international exports. I was in Brazil at the end of November as part of the largest ever delegation of Scottish businesses to Brazil, which is now the sixth largest economy in the world. Because we're part of the UK, we have not only the embassy in Brazil, but we've got consuls across the whole country. In fact, one was opened in one of the major new industrial towns while I was there. That is something that Scotland benefits from as being part of the UK, and I think that's a great strength to keep.
Derek Matthew.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Derek.
Hello, good morning. I'd just like to pick up a point that the last lady spoke about promises made in the past about devolution. It's more of a point as well as a question. I can't believe the negativity I hear from Scottish people. At the present moment in time, we've got 2,700,000 people unemployed. The country is a mess in many aspects. Why are people so frightened for Scotland to go alone? David Cameron made a big mistake, as Alex Salmond said on Question Time the other night, regarding if you stay in the United Kingdom, we will give you more powers.
OK, let's put that to the Secretary of State. Hang on, Derek, let's put that straight to the Secretary of State to get through more calls. Are you scared of Scotland being independent?
I want Scotland to stay part of the United Kingdom. This is not about fear or anything else. This is actually about what you think is best for our country, and I think it's best within the UK.
Next, we're going to go to Susan McCrae. Susan, what's your point this morning?
Hello.
Hello.
I mean, there's a lot of bandying about what Scotland wants. Why don't we put a vote to England as well and ask what they want?
Do you think, Michael Moore, that the people outside Scotland should have a say in this?
There are many in England who make the case, but I think if you look anywhere in history and across the world, deciding your own future is a thing for the people living in the country, and I think that's the right basis. And on that, the Scottish Government and the UK Government completely agree.
Before we go, who's going to run your campaign? Who's going to run the pro-union campaign? Is it going to be you? Is it going to be the Prime Minister?
There are going to be a range of voices in this debate. And it's actually not just about the politicians, Colin. It's been great this morning. We've had a great chat about all the different issues. This has got to be a debate for everyone in Scotland, whether it's on phone-ins, whether it's in the high street, whether it's in the TV studios. In the end, everybody in Scotland must be part of the debate.
Are you going to call in someone famous? Are you going to call in Sir Alex Ferguson to step in? Billy Connolly, for example, is another name in the frame.
I'm sure there'll be lots of Scots who will want to be part of it on both sides of the argument. Let's have that great debate. Let's get on, sort out the referendum wrangles, and let's deal with this big, big question, the most momentous in 300 years.
Well, that's all we have time for today. So thanks to Scottish Secretary Michael Moore, and thanks to everyone who called in. I'll be back next Sunday giving you the chance to take part in the Scottish Government's consultation, putting your points directly to First Minister Alex Salmond. But from me, have a very good Sunday.
Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.